I'm going to ask you to stand for this very long scripture reading. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and in the 11th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: "Give us this day our daily bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You guys aren't used to that short of scripture, are you? Don't be thinking the sermon's going to be short. I didn't hear that smarmy comment, but that's probably okay. Yeah, the length of scripture has nothing to do with length of sermon, all right? It's a glorious day. And it was a glorious day a couple of millennia ago when Jesus, walking along, followed by the crowds, went up on a mount and sat down and preached the greatest sermon that's probably ever been preached. The Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus laid out for the people of God what their relationships are supposed to be like, their relationships with their fellow human beings and their relationship with God. You know, if we were forced to give up everything else, we'd get all that we absolutely had to have in that one sermon. Now, the rest of the Bible, that's not an excuse not to read the whole rest of the Bible. But it tells us so much about God. It tells us so much about ourselves and the way to live with each other and bring each other to wholeness. There's so much in there. And he covered the three things that are so necessary in any religion. One of the first things that is necessary for any religion is a code of conduct. Piety, righteousness, what it is to be like the Creator intended us to be. That's in there. The second part that is necessary for the Judeo-Christian religion is the giving of alms. Absolutely essential. We, according to John Wesley, we're supposed to earn as much as we can, save as much as we can, give as much as we can. We save it to give it, folks. We don't save it and then sit on the can. We give. That's what we are. That's what we're called to do. Jesus gave all. Surely he can expect us to give out of what he's given us. So he talks about in this sermon the giving of alms. And he instructs the people on how to pray. Now, it's kind of unusual because you have to understand that the culture that Jesus came into at this time, people didn't just directly talk to God. They didn't even say God's name. It was too holy. Only certain people went into his presence. The worthy, which let pretty much everybody out. So Jesus talking about how to pray and how to speak to God was kind of revolutionary. And in this, he gives what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he comes to this one, the shortest sentence in there. Give us this day our daily bread. Say it with me. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we say that so often, but I promise you, we don't really mean it. We don't. Those are kind of words that just trip off the tongue. As we were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, I've noticed people doing that, not here today, I'm talking about in general, and they don't pay a bit of attention to the words. That might have happened to you today. When we say the Lord's Prayer, those words, we know them, they just kind of roll off. Do we really stop and think about what they mean? Do we mean it? Do we mean it? I don't know why God does things in threes, but I saw three things in this. First of all, the first two words, give us. Give us. What does that very nature of that imply? That our dependence is solely on God, not on ourselves. Oh, Americans, God bless us. We are probably the second most arrogant people on the planet, the English being number one. Oh, but what do we talk about? Self-reliance, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, willing to give, but not willing to accept. How many times have I heard from people in this congregation and from my own lips how hard it is to accept a gift? Now, I'm way better than I used to be. Excuse me. It used to be that, like, when I just, even somebody gave me the gift of a compliment, I would, you know, I had to say something to put it down. Yeah, the men are kind of looking at me puzzled. The women are going, mm-hmm. Yeah, because we get that. You know, for instance, today, I was standing outside. I had shoes on. Some of y'all didn't know I owned shoes. I was standing outside and had my shoes on, and I had two or three people say, I like your shoes. I didn't say, you know, these shoes are 7 years old. I didn't say, you know, where I bought. I just said, thank you. That's what you're supposed to say when you're given a gift, is thank you. Say thank you, because a gift is a gracious, wonderful thing. And we hate to admit it, but we are dependent upon the gifts from others. And we are most dependent on our gift from God. It's absolutely essential. If God had not given us Christ Jesus, we would still be in our sins. We'd have no hope. So if we are willing to accept that gift, why not the rest? Why do we assign God to the little, you know, salvation box, and then everything else we're supposed to take care of ourselves? We're weird. You know, we're just weird. We are completely, totally, absolutely dependent, not just on God, but on each other. And that's okay. It's okay. There is no such thing as complete independence. It doesn't exist. Who here made the clothes that you're wearing today? Let me see hands. I see if I'd have said that in 1950, there'd have been a lot of hands up. But, you know, right now, not a hand goes up. How many of you went out this morning and gathered the eggs that you had for breakfast? No, going to the refrigerator does not count. I tell you what, folks, we're completely dependent on so many things, but yet we want to think of ourselves as independent. One of the best things we will ever do is understand that when we say give us, that everything depends on the graciousness of God. And that's okay, because God is gracious and God is loving, God is good. And all the time. So, we have to recognize that dependence. Then the next two words, this day. Give us this day. Not tomorrow. Not this week, not this month, not this year, not in this five-year plan. Give us this day, this day. All anxiety is rooted in the fear of what will happen tomorrow. Am I right? What will happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, well, we very rarely worry about what is happening in this exact moment. You know, it's always that thing that's coming. It's always that thing that's coming. We are, you know, what if we get sick? What if something happens to one of our kids? What if, what if, what if, what if? You know, most of the things that we worry about never happen. 99.999% of the things we worry about never happen. And those that do happen are usually not as bad as we thought they were going to be. Now, do horrendous things happen? Yes. But horrendous things don't happen every day. We waste the day if we are worried about tomorrow or if we're thinking about yesterday. And yesterday actually has two components. We worry about what happened, you know, yesterday, the past things that we did wrong, that didn't work out like we wanted, that were a disappointment to us, the sad things about yesterday. Or we have, yesterday was so much better than today, boy, I sure wish I could go back to yesterday. Because yesterday was wonderful. 1982 was a great year. Wish I could have that back. It wastes the day. It completely wastes all that God wants to give you today, either worrying about anticipating tomorrow or being frustrated or shame-filled or thinking back with longing about yesterday, because this moment right here, right now, is all you have. It's all we got. Make the best of it. Enjoy it. Strain all the life out of this moment that you can with a smile on your face. Because, folks, this moment, time, is the stuff life is made out of. It's the most precious thing of all. I would regret if regretting wasn't a waste of time, all the time I've spent regretting. I've wasted time regretting. I've wasted time putting off something until X happens. I will do thus and so when all of these little perfect things have lined up in a row. And have you noticed that nothing ever perfectly lines up? And if you're waiting on that, ain't nothing ever going to happen? I've quit trying to live in yesterday. I've quit trying to live in tomorrow. I'm trying to live right now. In this moment. In this moment, right here, I see your faces and I'm filled with joy. Right here, in this moment, God can use me to tell you something that can change your life. Right here, in this moment, I can feel the carpet underneath my feet. I can feel the air coming in my lungs, and I can rejoice in this moment of life, this day. It's all I've got. It's all I need. Our daily bread. Now, daily bread wasn't intended to mean just a loaf of bread. Daily bread is what you need. What you need. Hear me. What you need to sustain life. Abundant life. But to sustain life. It is all you need. It is all you need. It is all you N-E-E-D need. It ain't all you want. You will never have all you want. That's a good thing. But in this moment, you have all you need. You have all you need right here in this moment. I don't care what your life situation is. I can tell you right now, in this moment, sitting right here on that pew, you have all you need, because if you didn't have all you need, you'd be dead. True? You have what you need. You've got way more than you need. But you've got all you need. You have all you need, but it's not everything you're ever going to get. Just like it's not all you want, it's also not everything you're ever going to get. You know the old story about keep your fork? The best is still coming. You know, at the end of the potluck, when they're gathering up the dishes, they say keep your fork because dessert's coming. There's always something better coming. Oh, gosh, sometimes that's hard to grasp. But you don't have to think about that because it's already going to be. Be here now. In this moment, you have your daily bread. You have all you need. And when we concentrate on that, number one, it harvests an attitude of gratitude. When we know we've got what we need, say thank you. And if we know we've got all we need, then we don't have to worry ourselves with what somebody else has got. We do that. The whole advertising business is based on it. Making you feel that what you want, you actually need because somebody else has got it. We get all this angst because we confuse wants and needs, because we see somebody else with something and, oh, we want that. I taught Pat a new saying today. She hadn't heard this before. She's another one that said she liked my shoes, and I've said I liked her sweater. Pat has this beautiful purple sweater that would, you know, go really well with what I've got on. And I said, I really, really like that sweater. If you had a feather on your nose, and I had that sweater, we'd both be tickled. She'd never heard that before. And everybody else is going, I had never heard that either. We think we need something else to be happy. But if we realize we have all we need, we can be happy in the moment. We have no lack. A lot of our anxiety comes from the feeling of lack. I lack peace. I lack enough money. I lack this, you know, relationship. I lack that. I lack. I need. I want. When you start realizing that at each moment of every day you have everything that you need, because my Lord will supply your needs, then you don't have to worry about any of that. Give us this day our daily bread. Say it. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't say it all together. Let's divide it up. Give us this day our daily bread. Now let's put it together, but keep it separate. Give us this day our daily bread. Because folks, right now, at this moment, the bread plate's full. Glory to God. Amen.